Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. So this is, you know, heady stuff. Like you said, Glenn, not everyone understands, but I don't think it needs to be dumbed down. I think we need to go the other direction, actually. We need to smart it up a little bit. And we all should be aware of these things instead of just being hypnotized and going along to get along. So do you want to say what you were, you said I was surprised when a pastor something, you want to say that? And then I want to play this clip.
Oh, okay. So I was just going to say, I know of a pastor who was, they had like a group in their church, like reading this Rick Warren book, like a few years back. I'm like, I was surprised because this pastor was like a staunch, you know, Westminster grad, Reformed theology, OPC kind of guy. And I'm like, really? How's he getting duped by this? You know,
yeah.
But apparently the...
It's amazing. Know. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I wrote a piece. I don't know if you heard me talking about it, but I wrote a thing. I titled The Sons of God, a friend. You know, I had a conversation with three friends in particular, and there were some other sort of peripheral conversations that developed into a response that became a post. And basically, I think the chewy nougat center of it is, it sort of revolves around the question, what is the difference? You know, is there a difference when, you know, you have, let's say, three different crowds that, you know, centering around the question of the sons of God. You know, the Bible uses the term, you know, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. They are sons of God, sons of God, sons of God. And so you have these different groups using this terminology. You obviously have the word of faith, prosperity, doctrine or gospel, New Apostolic Reformation folks, Kenneth Hagin's, Kenneth Copeland's, Jesse Duplantis's, you know, everybody on TBN, which is a funny looking logo. What coat of arms is that? But so you have these folks using that terminology. We're all gods. We're all gods. And, you know, Christians, Orthodox Christians, which is redundant, use it. The, you know, Psalm 82, John 10, 34. In particular, gets thrown around. But you also have the theosophical contingent saying we're all gods. We're all children of the one Father, blah, 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 avatars of the Christ. So is there a difference? Is there a distinction? It's a rhetorical question, obviously, but how many Christians do you think in America you could find who could articulate the difference or even say there is one?
That question has been asked this morning on RBN on another show.
Huh.
Another caller brought that up.
Okay, so I want to play this clip then, and this, to me, illustrates the point that I made, the point that you made with this gentleman who should know better and is in a man of the cloth, so to speak, should know better. But this, you listen to this, I swear you could go to pretty much any church, you know, Christian church, and, you know, get even those little ladies that are going, you know, every Wednesday or Thursday and twice on Sunday, and they will say, oh, that sounds wonderful. I think that's great. But it's the devil speaking, basically. So without further ado, here it is. Go ahead, please.
As we are moving forward here today, we're going to show you how, if you make a decision that you really want to feel good, and you will deliberately, consciously, often Choose the thought that feels the best of those that feel available to you. You will discover that by taking this path of least resistance or this path of most allowance, you can bring yourself right back out into the light, right back out into the clear space, right back out into full connection with who you really are. There's no point in trying to start from some place that you are not standing. You cannot do that. Your point of attraction is where you are. And you did not garner this habit of thought or this personality or this approach to life or this way of looking at things. You did not gather it all up yesterday. You've been gathering it up over a long period of time. And you have developed some vibrational habits, some vibrational proclivities. You have developed some habits of thought.
And so I think you play that for, like I said, you could go to churches and play that and they would say, oh my goodness, that's so great. You know what? While we're at it, let's have Beyonce come and sing, you know, worship songs. She's singing Church Girl. Let's have her come and sing for us.
But
and that
Chris,
is evidence of the syncretism, the solipsism, and the ecumenism, the alchemical transformation.
But Chris, it can't be wrong when it feels so right.
Exactly.
That's
the path of least resistance or most allowance. I mean, that's just garbage. That's so, you know, it's evidence of this alchemical amalgamation of things. That's in contrast. So, you know, path of least resistance, just to contrast that, again, it's not supposed to be a Sunday morning thing, but it's supposed to be evidence of the warfare that's being conducted all around us. So Jesus says, Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. You can enter through, you know, something asleep, someone else can be driving, you could enter backwards, eyes closed, upside down. But then he says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And if you find it, you're looking for it. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. And right. And it's like, somehow it seems sounds very different than I die daily, or, you know, I buffet my flesh and pummel it and keep it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you know, so, or I don't know. I mean, just, you know, the path of least resistance. Oh, so then I should engage in road rage.
Yeah,
I'm really
absolutely.
In the moment.
And it all goes together. So back to the Nietzschean will to power, the idolization of Walter White, a.k.a. What's his name? The character that he turns into. Heisenberg.
Okay.
You know, so the
Heisenberg?
Jungian shadow basically takes over the man in Nietzschean will to power sort of fashion, anyway.
Well, I don't have a problem with that because I've compensated for Heisenberg.
Yeah, but...
But I'm bummed.
Seriously.
A little Star Trek joke in there.
Yeah, this is... I mean, this is what's happening. And people... It's working so well that people can't see it, you know. And this is why I said at the opening of today's broadcast, we're not going to think our way or intellectualize our way out of these problems, because you're not going to ever beat the devil at his own game. You're not going to outthink, outwit, outsmart the devil. You won't out-argue him. The only recourse is, you know, retreating to the Holy Spirit, so to speak.
Well, I generally begin by being suspicious of anything that is too flattering of my innate tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, yeah. I'm standing in a position of what, like, makes it seem like, you know, autonomous and righteous. And it's like, okay, you are as God's. Okay, that's like one verse in there. And I'm kind of willing to defer attempting to articulate too much about that until the redemption of the purchased possession. Once I'm on the other side and in a glorified body and in the presence of Christ, I could probably grapple better with that concept. But for the moment, I'm much more concerned about blaspheming while I'm here in the flesh, you know. I don't want to... I'd prefer to emphasize the fact that I'm a redeemed sinner and not worry. You know, there are other scriptures that talk about us eventually holding exalted positions. Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that's then. This is now, and I'm trying not to judge lest I be judged at for the moment.
Yeah,
you know, am I bouncing around too much? No, I don't think so.
No
topic.
Yeah.
But,
so I'm gonna dive into the other side a little bit and how this is happening. I think so.
Okay, I gotta go. But,
I always appreciate your points of clarification because I'm sure that other people benefit. I think it's edifying. So when you say, you know, the juxtaposition of Oswald Chambers and Rick Warren, I trust the former with my life, and the other, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him or at all. I completely agree. And so I was trying to make that point that you made, and hopefully people understand that. So
gotcha.
Thank you.
At first I thought you were agreeing with something Warren said there, and it took me,
no.
I had to listen to, for when you went over at the, you know, when you went into it, the more I'm like, oh, okay.
if he actually wrote The Purpose Driven Life, it would be about two or three sentences and that would be the book.
Well, the question is always, or people say everything happens for a purpose. And then my first question is, whose purpose?
Exactly.
You know, and whose purpose?
To me, one of the best illustrations of that is the disciples say, Lord, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents that he would be born blind? And if people don't know the answer, look it up.
Sinned.
Whose purpose? Exactly. Yep.
Or even if there is an evil purpose, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Genesis 50. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Joseph, exactly.
So there we go.
To bring about this present result that many would be saved alive. Yep.
Amen.
That's power.
All right. I'm going to
thank you.
On my head before I put my
appreciate
foot in.
Appreciate it. Much appreciated, as always.
Okay. Take care. Cheers by the door, dude. Later.
So, one more Oswald Chambers entry. I agree. You know, Chambers is unique, which is why I refer. It's that, you know, again, this is not supposed to be a Sunday morning thing. This is a contrast. We don't get contrast. Even search engines on the interwebs, you'll notice, I mean, we had some great content 10, 15 years ago. Where did it all go? I mean, as far as the internet is concerned and search engines, apparently 2019 is, you know, kind of the prehistoric era. Why do you suppose that is? Why are all the search engines doing that? Things are getting difficult to find. You can't find anything before September 11, 2001. You can't find anything before about January 2020. Why is that? That's curious. So Chambers, in contrast to that, as Chambers' wife wrote when they put together a collection they call My Almost for His Highest, she wrote, a large portion of the readings have been chosen from the talks given during the devotional hour at the college, an hour which for many of the students marked an epic in their life with God. And then she quotes Robert Murray McShane, men return again and again to the few who have mastered the spiritual secret, whose life has been hid with Christ in God. These are of the old time religion, hung to the nails of the cross. And I'm convinced, you know, I talk about the duality of American history, and I think there is a duality. Was it always intended to be the New Atlantis? Absolutely. But was there a real reverence and devotion, a Christian reverence and devotion to God in America? Absolutely. And I think that's where the blessing came from, despite the evil. So just like Glenn just mentioned, Genesis 50, you know, as for you, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. How is that possible? Well, Romans 8:28, Revelation 21:5, there are lots of examples, and that's who he is. That's his character and nature. I'm convinced that when he shows up, he is able to, because of his nature, he's kind of the opposite in a sense, you know, the context is he's the opposite of entropy. So in the space-time continuum, we experience the linear effects of entropy, second law of thermodynamics, and he is kind of the reversal of that. So behold, I make all things new. Perfect tense in the Greek, so continually making all things new. And so when he shows up, he takes the broken things and makes them better than new. And I think that my humble estimation is the old stained glass windows, picture windows, are a testament to that, because glass has a purpose, but what purpose does stained glass have? It's not terribly useful for all things, and broken glass and broken stained glass is, I mean, it's worthless. But if it's assembled to tell a story that is kind of a manifold blessing, it tells a story generation after generation, that's amazing. So behold, all things new. And so that's what God does in my understanding. He takes the broken things and makes them better than new. Anyway, another Oswald Chambers before I dive into the dumpster fire that is the West and contemporary society and all of that. The Missionary's Master, September 22nd entry of Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. John 13:13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Chambers writes, to have a master and to be master. And again, this is in contravention. I mean, the clip that we played, people can't see the distinction. That is the solipsistic way. The clip that we played, Abraham Hicks on the path of least resistance. If you make a decision that you really want to feel good, Maxwell Maltz's Psycho-Cybernetics, Norman Vincent Peale, Tony Robbins, et al. And you will deliberately, consciously, it is the first lie. Ye shall be as gods. In contrast to that, Chambers, to have a master and to be mastered is not the same thing. To have a master means that there is one who knows me better than I know myself, one who is closer than a friend, one who fathoms the remotest abyss of my heart and satisfies it, one who has brought me into the secure sense that he has met and solved every perplexity and problem of my mind. To have a master is this and nothing less. One is your master, even Christ, quote unquote. Our Lord never enforces obedience. He does not take means to make me do what he wants. At certain times, I wish God would master me and make me do the thing, but he will not. In other moods, I wish he would leave me alone, but he does not. You call me Master and Lord, but is he? Master and Lord have little place in our vocabulary. We prefer the word Savior, Sanctifier, Healer. The only word to describe mastership in experience is love. And we know very little about love as God reveals it. This is proved by the way we use the word obey. In the Bible, obedience is based on the relationship of equals, that of a son with his father. Our Lord was not God's servant, he was his son. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience, quote unquote. If our idea is that we are being mastered, it is a proof that we have no master. If that is our attitude to Jesus, we are far away from the relationship he wants. He wants us in the relationship in which he is easily master without our conscious knowledge of it. All we know is that we are his to obey. And in contrast to that, the cybernetic bent is the counterfeit to it. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Back. All right, so I've spoken to the good side of the fight, so to speak. I've mentioned the contrast of essentially good and evil, what we see happening in society and how evil is construed as good. And you know, it's funny, it's all in the Bible. I mean, that's Isaiah 6, isn't it? Is it 5 or 6? I always get mixed up. Isaiah 5, Isaiah 6 is, you know, the temple experience. Isaiah 5, 18, woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood and sin as if with cart ropes, who say, let him make speed, let him hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come to pass, that we may know it. What are those who call evil good and good evil? Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness? Who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? What are those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight? Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men and mixing strong drink. who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of those of the ones who are in the right. So, you know, I mentioned in the last couple of days, I mentioned the movie The Laundromat, which is based on the Panama Papers. And that's exactly, I mean, that to me is a, is an emblematic example of that. And it goes right back to the first lie in the garden. And I could see the devil doing the same thing. You see in the movie The Laundromat, Antonio Banderas and Gary Oldman portraying Mossack and Fonseca. I think it's the other way around, actually. Anyway, they're portraying those guys. And they throughout the movie, they say, I mean, was it our fault that, you know, all we did was set up this shell corporation? And was it our fault that this guy did that and these people got murdered and this and that? And I mean, we didn't make, and that to me sounds exactly like the argument the devil would make in heaven, the court of heaven, so to speak, in, you know, say what happened in the garden, for example. I could see the devil making the argument that, you know, I didn't do anything. I mean, I didn't. In fact, I wasn't even talking to her. I was just walking by talking to myself. And I said, did God really say? And she answered me. And I mean, I wasn't talking to her, but she answered me. And I can't be rude. I'm not going to be rude. I got to respond. Be rude not to respond. So then I said, well, actually, you know, surely you won't die. You'll be as gods. But I didn't make her do anything. I didn't make them do. And then I left. I didn't do anything. And that's what these guys sound like in the depiction of Mossack and Fonseca, Panama Papers, and evil that is worldwide. And so the point that I'm making here is, you know, again, this is not supposed to be a Sunday morning thing. I'm just trying to speak to the good side of the fight, so to speak, because I think that far too often what we do is we sort of obsess over dumpster diving. And I'm going to dive into the dumpster in a second, but I think we obsess a little bit too much in rooting in through the dumpster and not spending enough time on the good side of the fight. And as a consequence, evil continues to advance. And the evidence of that, I think, is, you know, one of the biggest pieces of evidence is what I mentioned, you know, this path of least resistance nonsense. I think really, I mean, I'm thinking about trying an experiment and going to churches. And, you know, again, this contingent, that let's just say the theosophical contingent, they are not averse to citing the Bible, but they'll do it in a particular context. And even the devil did that. The devil quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus. Just because they're quoting scripture doesn't mean that they have good intentions. You know, and then we have all kinds of problems from there. People hear that kind of stuff, evil, the Bible quoted from evil corners, and they end up throwing the baby out with the bathwater, listening to what the Bible would call false teachers and so on. So, you know, but all of that is intended. I mean, again, I think you get a pretty good window into all of that in Pike's letter to Mazzini, the most prophetic letter allegedly never written. Things, speaking of things that get memory hold. Ah, that never happened. That's funny, because the whole 20th century unfolded precisely in the fashion that Pike allegedly wrote or never wrote to Mazzini, August 15, 1871. Yeah, but those terms were, I think you better look into that a little bit more. Just because things get memory hold doesn't mean they never existed. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house, or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Saturday was Constitution Day. I'm Peter Serafini with today's Liberty Minute. Albert Einstein said the strength of the Constitution lies entirely in the determination of each citizen to defend it. Einstein said each citizen, not citizens at large. On September 17, 1787, 39 men signed the United States Constitution. The grand experiment of a representative democracy framed as a constitutional republic began 235 years ago. The average constitution tried in other countries only lasts 15 years. So clearly, the United States Constitution is remarkable. I have handed out thousands of pocket constitutions, and I can't believe how often someone says, I've never read it, or I don't really know what's in it. Be determined to defend the Constitution. Read it. Teach its principles to younger generations. Returning to constitutional principles is our only hope of saving our republic. Find more constitutionally minded commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
I'm hesitant to dive into the dumpster. Hopefully the point is made. You know, it's so easy to dive into the dumpster and spend all of our time there. Kind of like, you know, junk food. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. It's horrible. Have you tried? Try this. But, you know, at some point we need something that actually is nutritious and good for us. Otherwise, you know, we will deteriorate and wither away. All right, back to the phones. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Rhonda. I didn't see that you called. I apologize.
That's okay. I was able to take a shower, no problem.
Oh, gosh.
I'm kidding. I didn't even hear that noise. I was just sitting here. I was going to wait for that noise. I didn't hear it. Anyway, I have a question, I guess, clarification. I guess I've been thinking about this off and on for a while. So, a while back, you know, used to say, like, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Right?
I'm not sure that I ever tackled that, but okay.
Well, you didn't, maybe. So we're going to now.
Oh, okay.
If we can't, just real quick, it won't take long. Hmm? But you said, I mean, it might have even been a year ago, but you'd say absent, you know, 2 Corinthians.
I think if I remember right, that was in conjunction with a conversation that Fred and Iowa and I were having. Maybe not, but I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Because my next question has to do with that.
Okay. And Fred said, every time we have that conversation, he says, what happens when you die? And I say, you take a dirt nap.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I was calling in for clarification because in the past you said absent from the body, present with the Lord, and taking a dirt nap implies that you're nowhere. You're just nowhere.
No, not exactly. Okay. But I understand. So the problem, I think, is that our – and I'm not an ordained person. I'm not a pastor. I'm not, you know, some people would say I'm not qualified. I wouldn't dispute that. I'm not someone who has my eschatology all pinned down. Glenn probably is much more erudite in that sense than I, but or someone like Glenn anyway.
Yeah.
However, mm-hmm. there are some things that I think I can offer that I think are helpful, you know, to the laity, which, you know, I would say includes me for sure. And that's why I think, you know, things that I would say have been revealed to me that make sense may be helpful. So in this sense, I think, you know, when Peter says to the Lord, you know, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day to the Lord, and we say, you know, he's outside of time and space, what does that mean? And I always think of it like, I think the moving pictures are an esoteric, Kabbalistic, alchemical tool, basically, in the transformation of mankind to sort of project the future onto now. You know, they want to write the future, and they're going to hypnotize us to take action on these moving pictures and basically create the future that they want. Anyway, that's an aside. But I've always thought of this outside of time and space thing as when we had film on reel instead of the digital stuff. You know, you get the cans with the reels in them, and there's a projector boy in the projector room who has to switch the reels, you know, depending on how many reels there are. And so if you think of the, you know, if you're in the theater watching the film play, the moving pictures, it looks like it's happening in front of you. That's kind of existence. That's the present moment. But if you're God, you're like the kid in the projector room who can take that reel of film and spread it out, and he can either look at all of the frames together as much as he wants, for as long as he wants, so to speak, or he could get a jeweler's loop and look at one frame as much as he wanted, for as long as he wanted. That's kind of how I think of that. And so, I don't know, maybe that relates, it does in my mind, maybe it does for other people, but, you know, to this 2 Corinthians 5:8 thing, absent from the body, present with the Lord thing, there is, you know, that we experience this time thing, linear time space experience. So what happens when we die? That stops. But, you know, for the people that are alive, it continues. But when you die, you're not time is not happening. It has stopped. And so the instant that you die, time stops. I don't
really...
So
that's where the dirt nap part comes in?
Right.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking... Go ahead.
I don't quite know how to conceptualize, but, you know, there's time. This guy lived this long, and he died, and then, you know, this person lived 100 years after that and lived this long, and he died, and this person lived 500 years after that. But on the other side of that timeline, so to speak, is eternity. And so there is no time in the sense that we experience it. It's not like, you know, you died and 500 years passed. It's the instant of eternity.
Right, and being humans and thinking about time and thinking that, you know, God is omnipresent, I mean, there's no beginning, no end, that'll blow your mind because of the way we think in this body. But I was trying to, without the answer to my question, I was trying to think, how would he, you know, what other people probably, if somebody just says you take a dirt nap, meaning you don't exist anymore, but you don't, you know, expand on that. I was thinking the soul and the spirit, I used to think they're the same, but then I was like, well, if they're not the same, I've heard it put like this, that your soul is your expression of God through you to other people. And when you die, you're not on this earth anymore, so you don't need that, but your spirit goes to be with the Lord. So I thought but then you look it up in the dictionary and they say it's the same thing, soul and spirit. Well, why is spirit a word then?
Back to defining terms. I mean, you know, which dictionary are you talking about?
Well, I was going to ask you if you could look up in your old dictionary, because I was looking at, I just did a quick search, dictionary.com, but they all say the same thing. They all imply that it's the same thing.
Right.
So your Webster's 1812 or something. I don't
1828.
Know. 1828? You know, they changed it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do that online, Webster's 1828.com. So Webster... soul, the spiritual, rational, or immortal substance in man, which distinguishes him from brutes. The immortality of the soul is a fundamental article of the Christian system. But immortality is, well, there's more to that story. Such is the nature of the human soul. It must have a God and object of supreme affection. Life animation principle 6, internal power, a human being, a person. Spirit.
Okay, yeah. So that does sound like it's the same thing, but so,
there is, yeah.
So you're not absent. I mean, we're energy, right? So when you die, you don't just, I mean, if nobody knows what you mean when you say that, take a dirt nap, you're talking about time and space, but...
It stops.
You're not really separated. You're not just hanging out in limbo then, so...
Time does not pass. There is no time.
Okay, now it sounds
time
like
stops.
You're talking about money, which my mind just goes blank.
Money?
I'm just kidding. I mean, there's certain subjects that just...
Oh, okay.
It's hard to grasp for me.
Yeah, like, absolutely. And that's why I said the kid in the projector room is the analogy to me. You can imagine, like, what does it mean? A day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. What does that mean? And what does it mean? Okay, he's outside of time and space. It's the old joke, you know, that everybody tells. Is it Dave? Who is it? I forget who says, you know, if you want to know about the water, don't ask the fish. So we experience time and don't ask the fish about time. So what's outside of it? We don't know. We're the fish. We're in the water. We can't conceive anything outside of the water. So the kid in the projector room to me is an illustration of you know, God being able to look at one frame in the reel as long as he wants, or the whole reel, all the frames at the same time, as long as he wants. Mm-hmm. And so he's outside of that.
Yeah.
And while we're alive, we experience time, but the dirt nap is when time stops. And then as Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment.
Which is another interesting thing, because right now I'm around people who are thinking people are reincarnated. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's not even...
And this, again, this is evidence of what I was talking about earlier, this syncretistic, solipsistic, ecumenical amalgamation, you know, one religion, one belief system, one definition for everything, one Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer is kind of what it, that's mm-hmm. funny, it sounds like that. Anyway.
And then it's, well, maybe all religions have a piece of it or something, but it's like, why don't, because, I mean, I've listened to your broadcast long enough that I'm able to say, bring up the no once to live, once to die, and I can't always remember where it is unless I look it up. But it's like, why would the Bible say that if you're reincarnated? Think about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I just wonder.
That's part of that Eastern mystical stuff that has been introduced for generations in America now mm-hmm. to lead us astray. Anyway, Fred is yep. calling, so can we
okay.
just... Patch, no, hang around. Maybe
okay.
it'd be good if you hang around.
All
can
right.
we patch Fred in? Are you there, Fred?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
No, just kidding. Yes, sir. Good morning.
Yeah, great. I lost my internet for about 5 weeks, but anyhow.
Perfect timing to get it back.
To Rhonda's question and yours. And as far as I'm concerned, you are, to me, in my opinion, an ordained minister. And that's the respect I have for you, your intellect, and my love for you. And I don't want to take a long time, but... The dead in Christ, or the dead that are not in Christ, they are asleep. And you are so excellent and pulling up verses. Their memory, they know nothing. They are asleep. It's just like you going to bed and go into a complete dreamless sleep. That's what it is. And you hear so many pastors, Protestants, Catholics, but Protestants say, well, and you'll hear from the people at a funeral, well, is looking down at me and us and everything. Well, that's not true. That's not accurate. And in the case of my own mother's funeral, that Ruby is, looking down at us. No, my mother is dead. The worms are eating her. She has no memory, and thank God for that, because if she could see the misery that the world is going through, and her own son, being me, they know nothing. That's the first death.
Mm-hmm.
The second death isn't talked very much.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ returns, the people that died in Christ, which means they have the faith, and to their best of their ability, and this can only be done by the help of Christ. But you have to have, with the help of God, Christ, your faith and your trust and obedience, I don't want to go into that word now,
Well, I touched on it in the Oswald Chambers entry that I read. So.
Yeah. Okay, I'll cover that another time. But when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. That isn't that in the King James Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They will rise first, and instantaneously, or real fast, the alive in Christ will follow them. In other words, there's people, when Christ returns, that never seen death. Okay, then we go into the 1,000 years of a millennium in heaven with Christ. That's when we judge angels and our fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, cousins, friends, and everything. Because God, Christ, has to show where people failed or, they don't haven't obtained eternity.
So
now
this starts to drift off into, I mean, we're at the end of the broadcast. This is where we start to get into the, this is a much, much deeper end of the pool, and this is something that Glenn was asking about, and we probably should dive into and take a broadcast or a series of broadcasts to deal with. But my point of clarification, I would say, back to Rhonda's question, which I'm not even sure that you actually got it out, but 2 Corinthians 5:8 in the King James says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be present, rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And that usually gets misinterpreted to say when right. You are absent from the body, then you're present with the Lord, which is not what the verse says.
Right.
Which is why I say right. Dirt nap. Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
My sister, she used to work at a nursing home, and one night she stayed late because this man's son couldn't make it. So she stayed there and held his hand while he died. And he wasn't drugged up or anything because, a lot of people who have drugs in their system, you won't see this happen. But she said he was just, wearing out. And she said when he passed, or as he passed away, she said he had his eyes closed and he opened his eyes and said, "I see you, Jesus." So he wasn't drugged, so you can't really say he was in a catatonic state or anything,
Sure.
I just don't,
sure.
I mean, I've never seen it, but she said she felt blessed by that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure other people have seen that as well. I know that before my mom died, she kept putting her arms out. I'm like, "Mom, what are you doing? Put your arms down, you're not going anywhere." You know what I mean? But she kept reaching out for something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
She wasn't on drugs then because she was at home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just curious how, I was just really wanting clarification because, to me, the way you guys put it, take a dirt nap, it sounds so kind of, not to be ignorant, but it sounds kind of crude because, God gives us life and life is a gift and then he returns us to him.
Yeah.
So maybe you could say, "You fall asleep in
Well, it's supposed to be in contrast to all of this, the things that Fred mentioned where, he's, she's looking down or, she's an angel now or I'm going to come back as, Napoleon or whatever. And it's in contrast to that. And the time stops, to your point, Rhonda, there are biblical examples. Stephen is probably my favorite example where, he's preaching and they take him to the edge of town and stone him to death. And he said basically what you just said. And, So let's see, Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing, which is amazing. I always, that strikes me because the Bible says, you know, that when he ascended, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, but he's standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And that's amazing. You know, that's, mm-hmm. to me, I always picture Jesus standing up and applauding Stephen. Well done, Stephen. And then...
pardon the interruption.
Well, hold on, let me finish. Verse 59 says, "They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' Having said this, he fell asleep."
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Fell asleep, meaning what you guys are talking about, except you guys put it a little bit.
Yeah.
When you,
yes.
When you say dirt
saying,
nap, it sounds like
I'm going to say that's
like
my
murder.
Term. When I say dirt nap, that's what I call it. And it is crude. It is crass. But I don't mean it to be disrespectful or offensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, it leaves a lot to a lot of questions. So that's why I wanted to know what you meant. Because, mm-hmm. you know, how do you... Because, it like I said, it sounds like you just... die and nothing happens. You're just stuck somewhere, nowhere. You don't exist anymore, or something.
No.
But when
not that
you, know,
you don't exist, but you're waiting. You're in not in purgatory or limbo or anything like that. Time stops.
Oh, purgatory, yes.
Oh, no, not
nice
that
term.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing, isn't it? Anyway, Fred wanted to say something, didn't he?
Yep.
Oh, okay, I'm going to get this out, and some of it is going to be new and controversial. Take Stephen, for instance. He is still asleep. Now, Moses and numerous others have been taken up to heaven,
mm-hmm.
like Elijah.
Yep.
Elijah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chariots
okay.
of fire.
The people... that die in Christ are asleep. The people that died as sinners are still in the grave and are asleep. They know nothing. Their memory of them is nothing. For 1,000 years, when Christ returns and the dead in Christ will rise, and then the living at the time of Christ's return we'll go to heaven for 1,000 years when we judge angels. Then after 1,000 years in the recreated earth, Jerusalem, the body, the whole Jerusalem, returns to the to earth and splits the mountain. I forgot the name of the mountain. Okay, then...
We're out of time. We're out of time. We'll have to continue later.
Oh, darn.
We're out of... Yeah.
All right, thank you.
That'll do it.
Have a good day.
Over tomorrow.
We'll continue later. Yeah. Take care, folks. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.